Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 1, which says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And we've been looking at this issue of the information that these saints in Thessalonica received from the Apostle Paul. And where we've left off was the issue of how Paul says that they received the information that would give them the things that they would need so that way they could be pleasing unto God. Now, the problem with most people is that the focus of who it is that they're trying to please has nothing to do with God, and that most individuals are trying to please other men rather than doing things that would be pleasing unto God. And we know that only the things that are contained in the Word of God rightly divided would actually be the things that would be pleasing unto God. We know that a person can only receive those things and be able to apply them to their life once they have put their trust in the gospel message for today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and the simple fact that our belief in that work gives us our eternal life. And we looked at how last time we left off with the issue of the identity that we have of how we're seen as the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we're seen in this thing positionally that we can be pleasing unto God, we see how Paul will keep bringing up issues of this. For example, let's go over to Romans chapter number 8. And we're going to see a couple different things that Paul says here in Romans chapter number 8 that speak about the position that we have and how God looks at us in this manner. And here in Romans chapter number 8, let's read here verse number 9, which says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So we see how a person and individuals have this Spirit that's being spoken of. The Spirit dwells in them the moment they put their trust in the gospel message, and how an individual then is seen in this manner of that they are God's the moment that occurs. And we see here, let's skip down here, the verse number 15 in the chapter. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, and heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." So there's an issue of the glorification that's being spoken of, that as there is this thing of being pleasing unto God, that you see how the glorification is being brought up. A glorification that's a guarantee. If we skip down here in this chapter, verse number 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, the promise that has been made is that an individual that has been justified is going to receive the glorification. We have that promise of the fact that we are going to be justified by the fact that we put our trust in the gospel message for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the first four verses, which lay out that gospel message. And because we've put our trust in that message, we have the promise of not only our justification, but also our glorification. And because we know that that's who we are, then the issue becomes that we should be walking in a manner that is reflective of the fact that this is who we are. You know, knowing that we have that victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, that that's supposed to have that influence on the member of the body of Christ. And so, knowing these things, this is what is supposed to be the influence for us to be, you know, doing the things that would be pleasing unto God. You know, we don't have to worry about there being a law system that would be in place to not only justify someone, but also to sanctify them. That's, you know, when you look at Israel and what was given to them, the law, you see how the law was for their justification and their sanctification, and how this was the only thing, if they were doing that, that they could then be seen as being pleasing unto God. And the law dictated things in all areas of their life. When you read those books and you read Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, it makes it very clear that there was nothing in their life that wasn't being governed by the things of the law. And if they were doing all those things, then they would be pleasing unto God, because that was the word of God given to them. The word of God is what produces faith, and it's the faith that is pleasing unto God. Now, we know that the information that's been given to us starts in the book of Romans, ends with the book of Philemon. The information contained in the 13 epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote is what is for us today. This is what, if we're following those things, then we would be pleasing unto God. Paul can't really make it any simpler for us as he's discussing what it is that we should be doing in our life. And he tells us how these things are to actually occur, and that they occur with the issue of the changing of the thought process that an individual has. And let's go over to Romans chapter number 12, as long as we're here in the book of Romans. And we're going to see how Paul describes the idea of this changing thought process that is to occur for the individual here. And in Romans chapter number 12, we're going to read here verses 1 and 2, which say, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Paul draws a comparison here between the things of the world and the things of God, and is telling the individual to not be conformed to the things of this world. Now, we know who it is that has control over the things of the world, that the things of the world are under the control of Satan and the angelic realm that followed him in the fall. And so how Paul describes this here of saying that, you know, we are not to be conformed to the things that the world would have us to do, but we are to be following all of the things that are given to us, you know, by God. The things that we find in the Word of God. And again, always as we say this, the Word of God rightly divided, so that way we are not trying to put ourselves under a system that, even though it's contained in the Word of God, that it's not what God would have us to do. Because I can find all sorts of things related to, you know, the law system, you know, here in the Word of God, but it's not the things that are actually given unto me. And you'll see how, you know, the things of the world just want you completely, you know, man wants you completely away from anything related to the Word of God. You know, Satan saying, okay, you know what, you can do things that are with the Word of God, just you're going to do them in the way that, you know, all these things don't line up with really what God wants you to do. You're going to do it the way of, well, here's these things that are there written, and, you know, you do these things, and if you understand it this way, you know, you might think you're doing the right things, but you really aren't. And that's the problem, because only once somebody has salvation and is studying the Word of God the way that God wants, is there actually going to be the growth related to the Word of God, so that way a person does the right things. And that's what you see if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, that we see how Paul's going to describe this issue here of an individual growing in the manner that is actually intended for an individual to actually grow. And we're going to see here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, let's start here, verse number 6, is, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, as we see this issue of what Paul is bringing up here to this assembly in Corinth, you see how there's a description of this comparison of the things of the wisdom of this world and the wisdom that is of God, and how the wisdom of this world, which is influenced by, as it says, the princes of this world, you know, that's Satan in that fallen angelic realm, because they didn't understand the hidden wisdom, because they didn't know it, that if they had known and understood the things of what was going to be accomplished on the cross, that they would have tried to have prevented the cross from occurring, and that the end result would have been a thing of where they would have said, okay, here is, you know, do this, and, you know, well, we can't have him die, and then try to think, even though the scripture said that he was going to die. But we know that the whole issue of that growth in the knowledge is what's going to give someone the information that they need, that's going to allow for the believer to do the things that would say that we would be pleasing unto God. And we see how Paul, let's go over to Titus chapter number 2, is going to actually give us some information here in the book of Titus about how the grace of God is supposed to be fully functioning in our life. We're going to read here from verse 11 through verse 15 in Titus chapter 2, which says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So we see how this description of thing of that it's the grace of God that brings salvation. All men have access to the grace of God. So all men have access to salvation. And it's the thing of that the grace of God also is what's going to function and provide us with what we see in verse number 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. So the grace of God teaches us that here are the things that you're not to do. And it's also the grace of God that's going to function to tell us, as we see the end part of that verse, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So the grace of God tells us, here are the things that you shouldn't do, and here are the things that you should do. And, you know, the individual has to gain the understanding for themselves on knowing, okay, am I going to do the things that are properly laid out for what of how God would have us to have that understanding of things? Or am I going to try to do things of where I say, okay, that I'm going to do this from my own viewpoint of things? And the unfortunate thing for most people is that they try to do things from their own viewpoint rather than doing things of how it is that God has laid this out for them according to the doctrine that's here. And or they try to pull doctrine that, you know, if I'm pulling things from, say, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, it's scripture, but it's not things of where it's applying directly to me today, because the things that were happening in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were an extension of, you know, exactly everything that had been happening in Genesis through Malachi. The book of Matthew picks up and just continues on with that same program with Israel in focus. That's why you see the Lord Jesus Christ saying things of salvation is of the Jews, or telling individuals to go only unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That he's not telling them to say, okay, you know, teach this to everyone. It's the focus is Israel, because it's the offer of the kingdom that's being made. And this is where so many individuals struggle on things and trying to really mix the two programs together and creating chaos for themselves. You know, I can't take things from the law and try to apply it to me today. I also can't take information from this dispensation and try to apply it to either the things in time past or try to apply it to the things of what's going to happen in the ages to come, because it doesn't apply to them. And really, the only way that anyone can actually be pleasing unto God is by following the doctrine that has been laid out for them. And if they're doing that, then God is pleased. If they're not doing that and they're trying to do something else, it might look good. It might look righteous. And that's the whole thing with it, is that, you know, some of these individuals who appear to be the most righteous and good individuals, that from God's perspective, they're not, because they're not following the doctrine that has been laid out for them in Romans through Philemon. They're doing all these things according to what the law said, and because they're doing it from that perspective, you know, God is not pleased with anything that they're doing related to those things. And that's the thing of where, if we're going to be pleasing unto God, which is what God wants us to do, so that way we are earning those gold, silver, and precious stones, you know, at the judgment seat of Christ, the only way to do that is to follow the doctrine that has been laid out. And that's where you see of what Paul is getting into in this section, is trying to get these saints who have understood that what he's given them is the Word of God, to get them to a place of where they're going to be pleasing unto God. Now, we're going to continue related to some of these things in our next episode. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have some study charts. We have articles to help you in your study of God's Word. We have some audio files of past Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're broadcast on Facebook, information on how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything on our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.